The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, check this out. I have a question for you. If I were to tell you, like, next Friday on the show, or just any time in the near future on the show, I was going to have the following people. They're all going to call in. Okay, just for little segments, each at a time. But would you be interested if I told you this lineup? Trey Gowdy, then Lauren Boebert, then Pete Hegseth from Fox News, our awesome Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, James O'Keefe, of course, Project Veritas, Father Frank Pavone, who I've known for years, one of the most prolific pro-life in the country, and then Ted Budd, who's a North Carolina congressman running for U.S. Senate. Would you be like, wow, Steve, that's a pretty awesome lineup. I think I'm going to tune in that day. Of course you would. Of course you would tune in. Want to know why? Well, because it is an awesome lineup, and it's actually going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, next weekend. Okay, September, is that right? Two weekends, September 23rd and 24th in Charlotte. That's the Salt and Light conference from our friends at Faith and Freedom Coalition in the big man himself, Jason Williams, back in the house. Jason, how are you? Good to see you.
Doing well. Thank you so much. Appreciate you letting us actually come in. Normally I'm on the phone, so to get to see the studio, this is everything.
Go ahead, say it.
And more.
That
not quite the shrine. The
what is
Star
that?
Wars shrine.
Yes,
a little bit off.
It's a little off.
Yeah. But
so you think that if I really love Star Wars, there'd be more in here? Is that what you're saying?
I'm pretty impressed with
darn.
Star Wars.
I wish that's what you were saying, because that would give me an excuse to go buy more.
Do not. I don't want to feed into that.
Yeah.
I'm not an enabler.
Steve, I'm not going to enable your idolatry. I appreciate that. That's my brother in Christ, Jason Williams. Also with Jason Williams today, Lance LeMans is here, like the race car.
Like the race car.
Like the race. Lance LeMans, who's also with Faith and Freedom, we're going to talk about something that happens all over the world. It happens in this country, and it's human trafficking, so we're going to get to that. And Lance is also with the D.C. police. Like, currently, how long have you been with the police?
3 years now.
What were you doing before that?
Faith and Freedom Coalition full-time. I'm a reformed political operative.
So why did you decide to become a police officer?
A lot of human trafficking, mainly the work. Doing it as part of Faith and Freedom Coalition, and saw firsthand the damage that's done to a lot of our young people. And I said, it's time to go do something about it and actually put some of the bad guys away.
That's awesome. Do you have a military background?
I do. Former U.S. Army Special Operations.
Thank you for your service twice over now.
Years ago. Thank you.
Do they have a maximum age for the D.C. police?
I'm pretty close to it. That's what you're getting at.
Wow, he's already coming in strong.
I'm about to turn 50, but no, they didn't.
That's incredible,
age.
Though.
They do not have an age.
Isn't it? I mean, that's an incredible thing, sure, that you would turn around and see the need and go from a life of relative ease relative to that.
Yeah. And honestly, policing has been the most rewarding job I've ever had. It's a great profession, and hopefully more people get into it despite the current climate.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So we're going to talk a little bit later about what's going on with anti-trafficking. Lance is here in Raleigh attending a conference on that. But speaking of conferences, Jason, like, what's the deal? This is like starting to rival. We had the Faith and Freedom Coalition down in Nashville. That was the big national thing. Everybody's there, right? Yeah. Donald Trump's there. But this is starting to look a lot like Nashville.
You know, it's taken off. I mean, if you look at the history of the Salt and Light Conference, started 5 years ago. This is the fifth Salt and Light Conference.
Wow.
The first year, it was in Mount Airy. There were 150 people. Justice Paul Newby was the keynote speaker, and it was at Mount Airy Wesleyan Church. The second year, there were 300 people at the same church.
100% growth.
100% growth. Exponential growth.
Right.
Is what they experienced.
We could say 300% growth if you were a Baptist pastor. But we'll go with the actual numbers, 100% growth, which is awesome.
Yeah, we didn't report our numbers to the sword of the Lord, but we may. So then, the next year, the COVID year, is what we were really concerned about.
Yeah.
So we didn't really know how that was going to go. We moved to a different church, to Temple Baptist Church in Mount Airy. And we didn't really know what to expect. And that year we had over 640 people.
Wow.
So still doubled
yes.
previous attendance, which was just amazing.
That is amazing.
And last year, God has just had his hand on this work. Yeah. Last year we had in excess of 1,000 people at the conference there in Mount Airy. So we outgrew that facility. We ran out of room. I mean, for anybody that was there last year,
yeah.
it was hot. We overloaded the power system. We lost power a couple of times. So we're so excited. We're moving it to Charlotte. It'll be a two-day event this year, and it's going to be at Freedom House Church in Charlotte, and we expect anywhere on Friday and Saturday from 12 to 1,500 people. So God has just truly blessed it. I mean, I'm not an expert when it comes to these events.
Yeah.
He's just had his hand on it, and we've got so many good reports that we're just going to keep growing it until we can.
And the website is ncsaltandlight.com, ncsaltandlight.com, where you can get your tickets. And it's September 23rd and 24th. So lay out for us, and we're going to hit the break here in a minute, but lay out for us sure. kind of how does this 2 days lay out, like the actual schedule?
Yeah, so Friday night we'll start at 6 o'clock. It goes from 6 to 9. We have Christian artist Ryan Stevenson is going to kick us off right around 6 o'clock. He'll have a concert that'll be going on. And then we'll just go into the conference that night. We'll have speakers. Congresswoman Boebert will be speaking that night, as well as some other folks. And then Saturday morning, we start bright and early at 9 o'clock. We'll start it off. We'll go all day until 6. Mm. We have, as you pointed out, some of the lineup. And, I mean, there's a lot of people in here you didn't even mention. You know, the Lieutenant Governor and I are big wrestling fans.
Right.
So we
cool.
made sure to add a couple of former wrestlers into our program. We've
That's
got
fun.
Nikita Koloff, who has his own ministry now. You're probably familiar with Nikita. Mm-hmm. Man Up Ministries, I think. And Glenn Jacobs, who's the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, former wrestler known as Kane. So he
wow.
will be with us.
That's cool.
And so but we're pumped. We're so excited.
That's such a great so lineup. And what's the point of doing this? What's the point of having a Salt and Light conference?
Well, the point of those is so that Mark Robinson will come to the event. That's the reason we have the wrestlers.
Right.
But as far as the conference
Put
overall,
the honey out and the bees will
yeah.
come.
There you go. So the purpose of the conference is really just to inspire and motivate people to be involved and to follow the biblical mandate of being salt and light. And we kind of mix in a mixture of political leaders, elected officials, faith leaders. We have pastors. And we just want people to know we want you to be culturally engaged, involved in the process, but also know that the reason we are involved is because we have a mandate of being salt and light and
That's
have
right.
influence and to use that influence.
That's right.
To promote the cause of Christ. And so we really try to do a good job of mixing that in so that it's not just a purely conservative political
sure.
event,
sure.
but you're really getting truths from God's word.
Yeah, and that's the reality of our lives at Christian as Christians in a Christian worldview intermingles with every aspect of life. It overlays everything. It's not just on Sunday. It's not just at BSF on Monday nights or your small group. It's everything all the time. That's why we are called to be salt and light. And the Bible actually says, if you're not salty, if you're not light, what good are you?
That's right.
Literally, that's the Steve Noble trilogy. What good are you? Which is a great question. We'll be right back after this. Name that tune. Anybody? Can anybody name the tune? Anybody? You know the artist. You'll know
There's
it now.
Johnny Cash.
Going around, taking names.
When the man comes
yes!
Around.
And what man would that be when the man comes around? Who's he talking about, good old Johnny Cash? He's talking about the Lord himself. Okay, he's a very interesting story, Johnny Cash. We're here with Jason Williams from Faith and Freedom Coalition, and we're going to talk about the Salt and Light Conference, which is coming up September 23rd and 24th, Friday and Saturday, down in Charlotte. You can get all the information at ncsaltandlight.com. I just put the links up on Facebook live, ncsaltandlight.com. Fascinating story, and also that was Lance Lamons, who's with Faith and Freedom, also with the D.C. police. We're going to talk about anti-trafficking efforts later in the show. But Cash has a fascinating story, a fascinating faith story. Kind of came back to his faith later, had a lot of problems, obviously. They're actually releasing a biopic of him. There's a movie about Johnny Cash coming out by John and Andy Irwin. They did the show about Steve McQueen. They did Woodlawn. They did I Can Only Imagine about Mercy Me. They did the movie about Jeremy Camp. They've got a movie coming out early next year about Greg Laurie and the whole Jesus revolution of the 1970s. But they've made one about Johnny Cash and about his spiritual journey. So that's coming out soon.
Wow.
By the way, I also put up a link for a book. I've talked about this before, and one of these days I'm going to get Pete Hegseth on the show. Pete Hegseth with Fox News is going to be at the Salt and Light Conference. When's he speaking, Jason?
So roughly around 3:30, 3:45, somewhere around that time.
On Saturday.
That'll be on Saturday.
So it's called Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation. It goes all the way back to the late 1800s and looks at the takeover of the American education system, replacing what was largely a Judeo-Christian worldview with a non-Judeo-Christian worldview, a progressive Marxist worldview. And you say, ah, Steve, that sounds like a bunch of malarkey. It isn't. It's just history. If you don't like it, then you're intellectually dishonest. It's part of American history, and that's why the schools are what they are today. This is why so many young people think the way they do, even though they are raised in art houses and go to art churches. There is a operating system that's being built into them underneath all of our Christian stuff through the public education system. And it doesn't really come to fruition until they leave the school, the house, which they go off to college. And Barna says 75% of kids go off to college that were raised in the church and they walk away from the faith. And you wonder, how did that happen? Well, the school system's been planting a cancer in there since they were in first grade. And that's what Pete Hedzka's book is about. A long-winded introduction for that.
But I'll even say this.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Interject this. So when I was a county commissioner in Gaston County, we had a local museum. It was a nature museum, and they taught evolution, and you kind of got that whole thing when you went in there, and it was the dinosaurs and all that, and all that's fine. And when I met with them, because the county funded the majority of this museum, and when I went in and met with them and just said, hey, would you consider proposing any other alternative to creation, intelligent design? Is there mm-hmm. something else where you can promote this as a theory, but maybe show that there's other theories that exist as to how we got here? And I sit down and met with them, and they refused to do that, as you can imagine. And so we threatened to pull their funding. We said, we're just not going to fund you if you're not even interested.
Right.
And showing another theory and just promote this as fact, then maybe we shouldn't give you the $1 million that we normally give
yeah.
every year.
Yeah.
And so I got a call from somebody. I won't say on the air. I can tell you afterwards. But I got a call from a local pastor who said, well, the lady that runs this place is actually the wife of one of our deacons, very conservative church. Mm-hmm. So I met with her and talked to her. And her words to me, though, Steve, was she said, listen, we know what they get at church. We know what they're getting on Sunday. But what we do here at the museum is this is the nature museum. And what she's saying is, like, we know what they hear on Sunday.
Right.
But this is kind of what really happened.
Right.
And you just cast that doubt. Like, you just keep putting doubt in these kids' mind to where, yeah, we know your preacher said this. We know you read this in Scripture. But now you've got the truth.
Right.
And so the problem is that impacts everything the preacher says moving forward. Because now you have that seed of doubt as to whether you can believe anything that he says.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I appreciate what Pete and what you guys are doing. Education is it's a mess. And but it's anti-God. That's what it is.
Oh, absolutely. They wouldn't say that out front. And sometimes that's a spiritually discerned truth, and they don't really know that they're anti-God. They think that
right.
You say, hey, you're like Jesus talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I know who your daddy is. And they're like, yeah, my daddy's Abraham. And he's like, no, that's not your daddy. Your daddy's the devil himself. I mean, can you imagine how offensive that would be? So if you tell somebody working in the government or running a nature museum, your daddy's the devil.
That's right.
They're going to be like, oh, you're ridiculous. Yeah. So you're just typical Christian, right? But then they present the theory of evolution as fact. And if you're going to be intellectually honest, and this is going back to Salt and Light and why we're talking to Jason today, as well as Lance, about the Salt and Light conference, is you actually have to know the truth. The truth will set you free. And then sure. You have to take that truth into the public arena.
That's right.
And then actually, we're not responsible for saving America. We're responsible for being faithful to try. God deals with fruitfulness, which is a great deal. So
right.
I show up. I do my best. I follow my calling. I use my gifts to try to be a watchman on the wall that we're supposed to seek the peace of the city because that's good for us. The same thing for the nation. And to witness to a moral truth because that's good for society, whether society believes it or not. God's way works every time. So isn't that like the Salt and Light conference to inspire and educate and get people involved?
And again, we can't compartmentalize our Christianity.
No.
And I think that's what you have a lot of times. But it's being salt and light daily. And it's taking that into our culture and you know, being a witness on your job, in school, all those things. And so many times, though, we do have that compartmentalization of, you know, this is the hat I'm wearing mm-hmm. right now. This is the hat I'm wearing then. And no, we're Christians. If we are Christians, then we're Christians all the time.
Right. That's right.
I want to say one thing about Faith and Freedom Coalition is that even though we work in the public sphere and all public education, government, and all these things, the church and the breakdown of the American family are still the underlying root causes
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All these problems, and we're not going to be able to fix the governmental problem. We're not going to be able to fix our education system until we fix the family.
Yeah, that's right.
And as a police officer, I see it every day.
Oh,
there's
man.
One thing in common amongst most of these kids, juvenile delinquents, and even adult offenders. They almost always come from broken homes.
That's right.
They almost always come from single mother homes.
That's amazing.
And there's never been anyone who cared about that child, ever.
That's right. That's
even
right.
into their mid-20s and 30s, to this day, they still don't care. And so what do we expect to come out of our public school system?
That's right.
These kids go to school hungry many times. We expect them to learn. And then at the same time, we have, you know, the leftist agenda that you talked about that goes back to the early days of Marx. And they are actually infiltrating these brains with this information.
It's in there.
Those two things combined are really what we're seeing in the decay of our moral society. And it's events like this that sort of bring these ideas to the forefront.
That's right. Which is why it's important to have so many different speakers talking about so many different things. Because then, again, like I said earlier, it takes work and takes study and takes learning to be able to apply a biblical worldview in a comprehensive way. Because if your biblical worldview isn't comprehensive, what good is it? Then it's only good on, Sundays when Jason goes to church or at home when they pray before a meal or whatever. No, it's got to be all over the place all the time. And nationwide, the statistic is 42%. 42% of kids in America are growing up without a father in the home.
It's amazing. That's heartbreaking.
You go to the prison system, and it's 93% plus. And you go, okay, just do the math. So that's the problem, is the breakdown of the family and the elimination of the church. And who would love to do both of those things? Ooh, so you're going to say the S word, Steve? Yes, I'm going to say the S word. That would be Satan.
Say it out loud.
And that's to go back to salt and light and faith and freedom. That's why it's important that we stay engaged. I tell people, if you're not engaged in politics, if you don't vote, then you obviously don't care about your neighbor. And isn't loving our neighbor a command, Jason?
Absolutely. And that's spot on. And for the conference, the worst thing, this conference is too much work and it's too expensive for somebody just to come and say that was fun,
right?
Or that was a nice event. You guys had some great speakers.
I got a selfie.
I got a selfie with Pete. I got a selfie with Trey. Whoever. We don't have the ability and the resources to do that. The purpose of this is for there to be outcomes.
Yeah, that's
right. And to take this and go do something with
it. To change and go do something with it. We're going to come back and talk to Timothy Head, the executive director. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to our friends today from the Faith and Family. What is Faith and Freedom? Why do I say that?
Faith
it's my age.
Yeah, it's
56. That's what happens.
I don't know, man. Come on. You're the host here.
I'm glad you brought him.
I mean,
You'll never be on again, but I'm glad you brought him. Talking to Jason Williams, as well as, I'll say his name. Lance Lemons is here.
You should have mispronounced it. You had an opportunity.
Lance Lemons here.
48 years of mispronunciation.
He spends a lot of time on CNN, so he's here as well. Faith and Freedom Coalition. But let's up the ante a little bit. We're going to talk to Timothy Head, who's the executive director of Faith and Freedom Coalition on a national level. So we're excited to have Timothy on the show. Timothy, how are you, man? Thanks for calling in.
I'm great. And I'll go ahead and issue my condolences for your guests on the show today.
For Jason or for Lance or for me? Who are you saying condolences for?
Well, I'm trying to offer some softening of the blow of Jason and Lance sitting there for an hour across the table from you.
I appreciate that. It's good to have a man of God here in the conversation and trying to bring some grace and mercy. Anyway, it's great to have you here. On Friday, we were trying to get connected on Friday, Timothy, because I'm pretty sure you had something you wanted to share. As I did, a whole show on the reaction to Emperor Biden's speech last week, which I'm not going to. There's so much I could say about it. I'm sure Jason could. I'm sure that Lance could jump in as well. But, Timothy, what was your reaction to all that? As somebody that is the executive director of an organization like Faith and Freedom Coalition, as a believer, as an American, how did you react to what you saw last week with Biden in Philadelphia?
Well, you know, where to begin? You know, I mean, I think I'm sure by now all of your listeners have taken to – you know, Facebook or Instagram or something and opined, some kind of joking or a caustic response to it. But in all seriousness, it's really problematic when an elected president of the United States doesn't just kind of take objection or offense to a political opponent, but really starts to diatribe or demagogue against all supporters of the opposite political party, and not just kind of differing on political opinions or policy positions, but actually calling those people, and in this case, 74, almost 75 million Americans, a threat to democracy. I mean, how can you even almost take some of this stuff seriously if you didn't see it happening in front of our very eyes, you know?
Yeah, here's a direct quote. As I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault. We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. There's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. Now, of course, the next day, Timothy, they tried to walk that back and say, oh, we were only talking about the MAGA Republicans that are in the House of Representatives. We're only talking about them. Do you believe that, or do you think they actually believe it's all 74 million people that voted for the man?
Well, so there's a lot of layers to what's going on here, you know, right now, Steve. But one of the problems that that the political left, including Biden, are having is a languishing kind of lackluster Democrat electorate that are really not excited about any of the candidates that they have on the slate across the country. And so part of the reason why you're seeing the media and now, you know, the president himself joining in this demagoguery is because they desperately want, obviously, to try to kind of retake or hold on to the Senate, and it's going to take antics like this. And one of the problems that we also see, despite literally holding the White House, the United States Senate, and the United States House, and by the way, media, big tech, universities, you know, most healthcare systems, is that their policies actually don't work, which is the reason why they have to resort to ad hominem responses or attacks like we just saw here. He's, instead of him kind of like laying out a policy, agenda and trying to persuade America, he basically just says, this is what I'm going to do, and if you don't like it, you're a fascist, or you're a racist, or you're, you know, some sort of hate monger or bigot.
Right.
And for us, we're just trying to say, how about you just put forth a reasonable policy, and we'll decide whether or not we can follow that instead of just attacking us if we don't just get in line with you.
Well, they've got, you know, it's such an obvious diversionary tactic that you don't want to, if you have a problem personally and you go to a party, the last thing you want to talk about is your problem. So you bring up other subjects in order to keep people from talking about the subjects that are going to embarrass you. I don't want to talk about the southern border. I don't want to talk about the recession. I don't want to talk about what's going on in Ukraine. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about that. And so the raid on Mar-a-Lago and then this crazy speech, which, by the way, Timothy, let me ask you, we're probably about the same age. That was the most aggressive, disrespectful, crazy speech out of a president I've ever seen. And the fact that they didn't catch the optics bathing the front of the building in red, there was blue, but it was off camera, and bathing it in red, put a couple soldiers back there. I mean, either they're really stupid or that was all on purpose, because I think if anybody's a fascist in this conversation, it's those guys.
Well, you know, listen, you know, you're sitting next to two of the better people in the business, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of kind of staging political graphics,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
And this is what, you know, me and Lance and Jason do, have done in our careers and still do. The reality is that this was absolutely, you know, Lenin-esque, Stalin-esque, Mussolini-esque. And but it's also impossible for me to believe that this Biden White House doesn't have sophisticated enough political operators,
sure,
that this just sort of,
right,
flipped their mind. It wasn't like a typo, you know, on a graphic somewhere. This is an entire, I mean, they took over a city block to create this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they were able to cram 220 people in that audience, Timothy. So that was impressive.
Yeah, that's right. Instead of circles, you know, I was actually still half expecting them to kind of pan out and show people standing in circles, you know.
Yeah, it was really an amazing thing, and of course, to quote Obama, that, I doubt that was the JV team, right? So these are some of the best people in the world. That sent a message. They know it sent a message. And instead of having us declare war on the terrible result of this administration, they just go back to Donald Trump. They go back to the same old well, just anything except talking about Biden and the Biden administration. Let's zoom out a little bit, Timothy. And why are you a part of Faith and Freedom Coalition? Like, why are you involved?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, so one of the ways that we like to sometimes say it is at Faith and Freedom is that we are working to support biblical worldviews or public policy that is within a biblical worldview and a constitutional framework. Right. So we do believe that a biblical worldview is it really ultimately leads to the most human flourishing. And if we can do those kinds of policies within the framework of the Constitution, that we actually can kind of constrain the growth of government. And so, you know, we at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, our job and our kind of goal is to function almost kind of like a trade union for Christians, okay? Mm-hmm. Like pipefitters and teamsters and teachers are organized really well, but we found, you know, that Christians, even though we have tons and tons of Christians across the country, we're not always kind of marching in the same direction. And so that's one of our roles at the Faith and Freedom Coalition is to try to get all of us, so to speak, singing from the same hymnal from a political perspective. And we're seeing more and more success, not only electorally, but also in actual legislation on the federal and the state levels.
Yeah, it's such a great point, and to engage not just at the national level, but at the state level and local level. We're talking to Timothy Head, the executive director at Faith and Freedom Coalition. That's ffcoalition.com is the general website, and then you can drill down into states and find your spot. But ffcoalition.com, it's really pretty amazing what's going on here in North Carolina, Timothy, to see Jason's leadership and everything that's going on with the Faith and Freedom Coalition in North Carolina. Were you pleasantly surprised about what a monster this Salt and Light conference is going to be? I mean, this is an incredible lineup, and I'm like, wow, Jason did this? But how do you feel about that?
Well, pleasant, yeah. Surprised, no. Jason, like you just said, Jason is really one of the best, not just for Faith and Freedom Coalition, but period, actually one of the best.
Amen.
I would argue political organizers in the United States today, and so this is I guess the third year that he's kind of had his fingerprint on the Salt and Light Conference there in North Carolina, and it's continued to get a little bit better and a little bit bigger every single year. And honestly, I think we're not only is the event itself really encouraging and galvanizing for all kinds of people of faith, but we truly are seeing momentum continue to build both. You know, and the governor's, I'm very optimistic on the future of the governor there in North Carolina, state legislature, frankly, the future of the Supreme Court in North Carolina, I think is trending the right direction. So we're seeing some fruit from this, not just kind of good events, you know?
Yeah, it's such a great point. And we can all get together and we have conferences. I've been involved since 2004 and that's fun. But if it doesn't lead to change, then you're just wasting your time and patting each other on the back and having fun in church and while the culture goes to hell around you. And that's why it's so important. Faith and Freedom Coalition, Timothy Head, Executive Director, thank you for calling in, brother. We appreciate you. Thanks for all the good work you're doing.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, my friend. God bless.
You're welcome. You too. We'll talk to you again soon. That was Timothy Head. We're going to keep talking about Faith and Freedom Coalition, what's going on. Salt and Light Conference, Charlotte. Coming up in 2 weeks, September 23rd and 24th, ncsaltandlight.com is the website. We'll be right back with Jason and the other guy. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. You can grab the podcast. You can join us in the studio. Facebook Live, just go to the Steve Noble Show. You can get the podcast anywhere you would normally get podcasts. Google Play, Apple. If you can go to iHeartRadio. You can go to Spotify. We're in all those places. We're also on YouTube Live, usually. But last week, do you know who Steve Dace is? I'm here with Jason Williams and Lance Lamont from Faith and Freedom Coalition. So Steve Dace is on last week. We've known each other for years. Right. So he was on last week, and we ended up talking a little bit about COVID. We were talking about COVID vaccine. Now I'm impersonating the president. We're talking about COVID vaccinations. And Steve's proposition is that the Democrat Party is going to turn around, flip their whole position, and that all the problems that came as a result of the vaccine, school closures, all this stuff, it's all Trump's fault. It's not their fault. So we just had this conversation. It's about 5 minutes. And he was on for about half the show. 5 minutes. So the next day, YouTube says, violation, misinformation. So we're banned for a week from YouTube. It happens all the time. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay.
But we actually just got hit.
You did.
They took down one of our videos just the other day of our conference. We were promoting some of the speakers from last year. And they took one down because of misinformation someone was talking about the election, and it was actually Greg Locke, and they took it
because he had an opinion about the election.
He had an opinion, and they were like, "We're not allowing that."
No,
you did not get that pre-approved by YouTube.
Where do you think you live, Jason? What do you think? This is the United States of America?
It's unbelievable. Like, this happened to both of us in the past week.
And like Facebook Live and my Facebook page, since NC reopened and I was doing a bunch of stuff early COVID, and they throttled it down. It's still throttled down. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Unreal.
But to the trafficking issue, we were talking about this on the break. You're like, you guys were talking on the break. Yeah, but only if you're on Facebook Live. So go to the Steve Noble Show page, and you can get in on those conversations. But talking to Lance Lamont, because we're going to talk about the anti-trafficking movement, which Timothy had something to do with that, because that was a big issue, should be a big issue for all of us. But Timothy Head, the executive director at Faith and Freedom Coalition, is like, okay, we got to get involved with this. So tell me about your journey into where you completely transformed your life, became a member of the D.C. police force, 3 years ago, to deal with human trafficking.
Yeah, so, you know, as a pro-family, pro-life public policy organization, Faith and Freedom was obviously at the forefront of the pro-life movement. And we realized years ago, Timothy and many of us, that pro-life is more than protecting the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the Old Testament, through the end of Revelation, one of the themes of biblical values is protect innocence.
That's right.
It is one of the tenets of our faith, Judeo-Christian faith, going back to the beginning, like I said, to the end of the Bible itself. And so human trafficking and criminal justice reform are the two areas in which we thought, let's expand what the pro-life movement means. And, you know, we know that families who face incarceration and contact the criminal justice system have higher rates of abortion. Victims of human trafficking are often impregnated.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what? They go to the hospital. They get abortions. They go to the clinic. They get abortions. So all of these things tie in together to protecting the most innocent of human life. And on the trafficking side, it involves adults and children. I work human trafficking cases in both. Now, I'm not going to pretend as though working child trafficking cases is not more
terrifying. More egregious, right?
Yeah, more egregious. But, you know, we see the harm that it's done to adults.
Yeah.
And so I'm very thankful that Faith and Freedom Coalition has led the entire movement from sort of the right side of the political aisle to face this issue. The left owned this issue for years.
Oh, absolutely.
And, of course, their solutions, of course, are always wrong. Their number one solution is to legalize prostitution, which the data is very clear from Europe that any place where legalized prostitution is instituted as policy, that human trafficking,
you're going to get more
statistics go through the
roof. Because you get more of what you incentivize.
You get more of what you incentivize.
That's why we have sales. Hey, we got a sale down at the store.
And I can tell you, I've worked homicides. I've had guns pointed at me my whole life. But I testified against a Washington, D.C. City Council bill to legalize prostitution in the district.
Man.
And in the back of the room was a large contingent of transsexual individuals who were very upset. That's the most fearful I think I've ever been for my public safety. And I came at it from love. I'm like, I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm telling you, this policy is wrong.
Yeah.
This policy is evil. It will lead to more evil. And you're bringing that evil to the nation's capital. People will come from around the world to visit our White House, and they're going to see a brothel with probably underage children being molested in and out of this organization while visiting our nation's capital. And I'm sorry if this is offensive to anyone. This is unacceptable.
It should be offensive to your sensibilities as a Christian.
Yes, or as a human, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, this is one that should easily transcend outside of any religious affiliation.
You know, I joke with my moral atheist friends. You know, I'm like, I don't really understand that. But even in that case, they can even see the point of view here of how horrible policy idea that this is. So we're at the forefront of fighting that. And I'm gonna beg the listeners now, get your church involved and get your families involved in fighting trafficking, because it is happening in your neighborhood.
Oh, that's right. It's here in the U.S. I mean, it's all over the world.
It's all over the world.
But it's definitely here in the U.S.
It's in rural America. It's in inner city America. It's black. It's white. It's poor. It's rich. It knows no bounds. And I hate to say this, but the key to the whole market is the buyer.
Sure, of course.
And guess where the buyer is? The buyer is in your pew. The buyer is sitting next to your children at Sunday school, and they exist, and you have to be diligent in this fight.
Because pornography is a big driver in this game.
Pornography.
Because that lights the fire, and then the fire leads to other things, and then next thing you know.
Yeah, so that, you know, unfortunately the American public has spoken on pornography, and it's pervasive in every corner of our culture. And but the data is very clear that we've studied that pornography addiction is the underlying driver of purchasing sex with underage children.
Sure.
It just is. And it starts that way. You add drug abuse to that. Yep. And those two addictions alone are really what's driving this. And yet the pornography industry continues to be one step ahead of the government. It continues to be one step ahead of the church. It's infiltrating. The average age of a child who views pornography now is about age 8 or 9.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. 9's the national average. First time exposure.
Think about that for a second.
My goodness.
And Jason has six children.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do our best.
It's sad.
With the age of the internet, it is really, really hard.
Oh, it's prolific. It's an epidemic.
Yeah,
it's a real one. It's a real epidemic.
It's not about avoiding it. They throw it at you. You're on Facebook. You can't scroll on social media.
So, Instagram, you name it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And we over-sexualize our children in mainstream culture.
Oh, sure.
Television, newspaper, online, wherever we go. And it's really driving the market. And luckily, organizations like ours, we're bringing many people from the right and the left together to fight this.
Yeah.
And we're bringing law enforcement to the table, non-government organizations to the table, safe home operators.
Well, that was my question. How is Faith and Freedom engaging this? Obviously, Lance, you're engaging it personally through the D.C. police. But how is Faith and Freedom engaging it as an issue and as an organization?
So one, faith-based organizations who are providing direct services to victims of human trafficking and teaching them the Bible and the love of Jesus Christ and why that's the way to salvation and how to get out of the life.
Yeah.
Faith and Freedom is actively supporting public policies that with financial resources going to those faith-based organizations who are doing the on-the-ground services for victims of trafficking, including Jason and his wife who are involved in this fight as well and are providing that biblical worldview and just showing the love of Christ to these victims and teaching them that Jesus is the way out of this.
So it's proclaiming what's going on. You got to proclaim that truth. You got to partner with whoever you can.
Yes.
And then from a public policy perspective, you got to fight to get the right policies in place. There's a ton of work to do.
There's a lot to do. And I will commend this legislature in North Carolina. We worked with them. I worked with a speaker. Money doesn't fix everything. But in the last budget that was passed, they gave more money towards fighting human trafficking than in the history of the state.
Wow.
And so we worked with the speaker to develop that, to try to find organizations that are really on the front lines fighting this best. Because this is also one of those, you're right about the policy, but this is one of those situations where government's not always the answer.
That's right.
They're going to be the answer on some of
it. Yeah, some things only they can do.
Some of it, but on this, sometimes it's better to have other people. And I appreciate our legislature, Speaker Moore and others, for recognizing that.
Yeah, and you have to bring the subject up, and you have to engage people, and
That's right.
Have to pull back the curtain. That's like Emmett Till's mom who had an open casket funeral because she wanted everybody to see what racism could actually look like. That's why it's okay to show pictures of aborted babies. It's the same thing that Emmett Till's mom did.
But it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable.
Who wants to talk about the 8-year-old being trafficked?
Nobody.
By the way, my wife always says I'm the life of the party. We're the life of the party because every time we show up in a social situation and, first question is generally, well, what do you do?
What do you do?
Well, I rescue human trafficking victims. Really? Right. Well, tell us about that, and, off we go, and everybody all of a sudden stops drinking.
How important is this election in North Carolina, Jason?
Holy cow.
It's about 60 days, a little less.
Listen, in North Carolina alone, we don't have to get into how important the Supreme Court is. Nothing matters if we don't get a majority of conservatives on our North Carolina Supreme Court. For the first time in my life, and probably all of our lives, abortion is actually on the ballot.
It's on the table.
We've been talking about this forever.
Yep.
These are things that people have fought for. They've stood in line. They've fasted. They've prayed. There's people listening to this right now who've done far more than I have in the decades past.
Almost 50 years.
Again, thinking about all they've done, we now have the opportunity. If we can elect a supermajority of pro-life legislators, we can really see abortion pushed back to minimal here in North Carolina.
So
for the first time ever since I've been a voter, I'm 39 years old, the first time ever, abortion is directly on the ballot.
That's right.
Because we can get rid of it. And so I'm thrilled about that. A lot of people talk about how that hurts our side. That should motivate people who have been dealing with this for 50
years. That's right.
And this is our opportunity.
That's right.
So there's other issues we could talk about, but for me, There's nothing bigger.
No, there's nothing bigger than that.
The abortion issue right now.
And then so we have to add three Republicans in the House. We have to add two in the Senate. We have to take over the North Carolina Supreme Court. If you don't own the court in the system in America today, it doesn't matter what happens in the legislature. A twisted court will just turn it over. So you got to take all three, and we have an opportunity to do that. We're going to keep talking about that, Jason. We'll have you back on a bunch between now and November because we've got to keep ringing that bell. Salt and Light Conference, Charlotte, North Carolina, September 23rd and 24th. You can get your tickets. Go to NCSaltandLight.com. NCSaltandLight.com. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.